Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Bring her.
Change the name.
Oh, yeah.
I'm David.
So everything you hear tonight, yeah.
It's the perfect disclaimer.
Yeah.
So that was going to be the spot the deliberate mistake at the end for 10 points.
Yeah.
So great stuff. Those were lovely. Bring a tear to a glass eye. Yeah. So why don't we start at the start, and why don't you tell us how you first met? How did the story begin?
I'll start.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Right, well, I was on a night out, like I did most weeks. I used to frequent at a bar in Falkirk, but I used to hang about with a friend that was at school with me. Now, I believe Kirsty was about to celebrate her 18th, and she was going to Rosie's Under 18s disco, and somehow we met in Falkirk that night, and that was just the first meeting, and it was really... It wasn't that long, was it? A couple of minutes. It was just like a chance encounter. There was nothing more than that. But my friend lived on the same street as Kirsty in Cruikshank Drive in Shield Hill. So I used to go with my friends just most nights. I think I about lived there as Dad was cooking me dinner every night. And then I think Kirsty, you chased me, did you? I'm sure Kirsty, because she knew I was at Collins, she would come down to Collins one or two nights of the week. But we just started chatting, just through naturally meeting up at different things. And then the relationship started to take place from there.
Yeah.
Really.
Do you have the same memory, Kirsty, or is that a different story?
Yeah, but I think I was only 16. I was going to be 17.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it was the same.
Can I just say the age gap's still the same, though?
Yeah. I know.
And what about first impressions, Kirsty? What were your first impressions of Willie?
I don't know if I really remember that first night.
No, you didn't, Kirsty, you didn't.
No, but obviously I must have liked them, because I think we hung about as friends for a while as well.
Yeah.
We'd go to, like, the cinema or go out... Yeah.
Well, we went out with, like, a kind of group of friends. We had a lot of friends that were from
in
similar
common
backgrounds.
Yeah.
And so I ended up at cinema in big, massive groups and that.
Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, I hope I can sit next to him tonight. But yeah. Although I remember I was like, oh, I'm not sure about the vibe, like the clothes, you know. It's a bit farmery, you know. I was like, well, maybe we need to change this, but that's okay. But yeah, that would have been an ick. Now, you know, like, the clothes were a bit of an ick, but that was...
So how did things develop to become more serious, and at what point did you guys realise, this is it, we're going to get married?
I don't know, because we were just so young. Like, we're just friends and just really hung out, and yeah, and like I think our first date that we went on, you drove and we came back to my house and we sat in the car chatting for hours and hours and hours, and then it was about 3 a.m.
Yep.
And he must have left his lights on, so he tried to turn car on.
No, you've got to tell the whole story. Kirsty was walking to the house, and I went to start the car. And then because the battery was so low, nothing worked. But when the battery goes that low, the alarm comes on. At 3 a.m, I woke up all the Cruikshank Drive.
Yeah.
But then I saw Sandra, who is Kirsty's mum, come running at the house, and I'm thinking, oh, yes, help. She quickly grabbed Kirsty, took Kirsty into the house. And I was left with the car alarm going, so I had to push the car.
What a smooth criminal.
Yeah.
I had to push the car along the top of it. Luckily, the top was flat. I had to push the car myself along the top of the flat.
And then it was a hill. So
it was in the day that you could stick your car into gear and lift a clutch and bump it. So I got the downslope and I got the car started and I got away. But
there was like many nights like that where we would just sit chatting and chatting and chatting. And then we would just be hanging out constantly, and you'd be around my house, my mum and dad... totally welcomed you in, like, I always say if anything ever happened to me, I would be the one that would be out. Willie would be like my mum and dad's child now. So yeah, they all welcomed him in, and your family were the same with me. So I think it just felt right then, like, because we were just comfortable, and it was all good.
I mean, obviously, we're not going to go into everything we talked about, but Kirsty said that we just spoke and spoke, and we did. And I just loved hearing her family, her background in the Salvation Army, how kind of similar her grandparents were to my grandparents. My grandparents were farmers. I mean, they were Church of Scotland, but it's just certain things that Kirsty was saying, and then me sharing stories as well about my family, just felt right and felt good.
Yeah. Obviously, the car alarm moment was stellar. Yeah. Was that the first moment, Kirsty, for you, where you thought, I love this man? Are you an I love you couple? When was the first time someone said it?
So last night we went to Starbucks together with the iPad and the notebook. We're like, right, we need to go through these questions. And we genuinely do not have a clue. Like, we do not have a clue when we said...
Well, we think it was probably me. But we just can't recall when.
I know. I don't know.
I'm sure it was probably in a Valentine's Day card or something. But,
probably.
But no, I'm sorry it's not a stellar moment that's in the back of my memory. But... I'm pretty positive it was me.
Okay.
I think it was.
So I don't know when that was,
If anybody watches films with our family, you'll soon know that Evie is the greeter in any film, any emotional bit, but I think she takes that slight bit from me. So I can get quite emotional at watching the simplest of things.
Lovely. And what about when it comes to making it official, the proposal? How did that come about? Was it planned? Did you know it was coming?
Yeah, I think we probably knew it was coming. It's
something that I don't think we never spoke about it really, but it was something that never fazed me because we were going out for 3 years. Oh, 3 years?
Something like that.
I know I'm only 45, but my memory sometimes lapses a wee bit. But I'm sure it was about 3 years.
A year and a half.
Aye, but it was 3 years. Alright, was it? Okay.
And then, I don't know.
But it's like, if anybody asked me the question, like, it would never be off the table, but it's not something that I would have approached, so it's like, aye, kind of at ease with it. But, yeah, there was no grand
proposal.
I don't know if you're disappointed with that or not. We just looked at each other one day.
I always remember thinking, we were out for dinner, I was like, please, I never want to be proposed to in a restaurant. I think I would absolutely die off. So yeah. I think it was the right way where we just, decided.
However, I did do things the proper way.
Yeah.
I did ask her dad if I could marry her. And if anybody knows Ian was always really busy and he was very hard to get on his own because... family were around most of the time. I suppose if I sacrificed a Saturday and went and watched Falkirk for the afternoon, I would maybe have got him along with all the fans. But we were at church. We used to go to People's Church, and Ian and Sandra were part of the counselling team. So I saw my window of opportunity at the end of a service. Ian and Sandra were both at the front waiting for people if they were looking for some counsel. So I'm like, oh, perfect, Ian's on his own. So I walked down and Ian's like, all right, well, if you just want to come this way. So you went to a seat at the side and he goes, so are you looking for some counselling? And I was like, no, Ian, I'm not actually looking for counselling.
Not yet. No.
That'll come.
I'm actually just looking to see if I can ask for Kirsty's hand in marriage. And then he's like, oh, that's great. He says, you might not need counselling now, but you will in the future. done everything proper. And we went and got the rings and that. But yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Hello.
Beautiful. What do you remember most about your wedding day?
I'm chatting about this. I remember it just being a really fun, day. Like, it was really fun and quick, so fast. What did we write down? Can't remember. Yeah. Oh, I can't even read my own writing. Oh, I was really late, really, really late. But you weren't worried. I think we had just put too much into the morning or not started early enough. But no, it was a really good day that all our family was there. I had a lot of family that came up and travelled up for it, so it was just really, really nice. And,
I can remember three three significant moments during the day. I remember when Kirsty came down the aisle, because I remember looking back. I didn't stay forward. I looked back, and I always remember getting a lump in my throat. And it was like, because you know Evie's a greeter and she gets with me, I'm like, I'm either going to start crying, or if I don't gulp here and put my big pants on, then... so I did. I just took a gulp, and then that was it. But I can remember coming down the aisle. Second thing was that Kirsty's family, she mentioned that they all came up from Wales. Their singing totally overtook the full church. Fantastically,
like,
my
it was like, I mean, guide me, O thou great Redeemer, and it was like bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. And then there was just this evermore, like this side, this male voice choir. So it was really lovely. And when you watch a video, you hear it. It's really nice.
And you almost see all of my family just looking across.
It was like
the aisle on the other side. It's like wow. So there was that, but also this is a wee bit of a funny thing. But I also remember that we never told the hotel that we wanted leftovers from the buffet, because as anybody maybe knows, if they've had a wedding day, it's like it goes by so fast, and then the buffet and the food and everything comes out, and then it's like you don't get anything. You just, the day takes over, mm-hmm. and then see at night, I was Hank Marvin. I was totally starving. And so were you, because you said that as well.
Yeah. So nowadays, you would just like just eat something, but yeah.
I do kind of wish that I had said to the hotel staff, it would be good to have some food for the end of the night. But.
One of my favourite parts of the day was when we were driving to Dollar Park to get pictures, and then we drove from Dollar Park to the hotel, and it was just the two of us. And that was really, I liked that, because we're probably both not like mad about being the centre of attention, so that was quite nice, just the two of us in the car for maybe 20 minutes, and yeah, that was nice.
Was that song anything to do with your wedding?
Yeah, that was our first dance song. I don't know why that was picked, but...
Well, I'm not saying that I picked it, but I was quite I'm not saying a big Eric Clapton fan, but I had his CDs, and I liked most of his songs, and that was one of my favourites, yeah, Eric Clapton's. Okay. But,
so we had that, and then we had another one.
But it was obviously for me to say that you looked wonderful tonight. Okay. That was the whole point of the story.
We had a few. We had Brown Eyed Girl. We had,
No, we had Stevie Wonder.
Isn't she lovely?
Isn't she lovely?
Yeah. I know, all these great songs.
You notice there was nothing about the groom. It was all that the bride looked lovely. It was nothing about the groom.
It's so funny when you have to think back. You're like, mm-hmm. so long ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what about after the wedding, into the early months and years of marriage?
Yeah.
Some folk... I remember when we were building up to marriage, folk tell you horror stories. I remember there was someone, really encouraging person, said, "Don't worry, the first 7 years are the worst." I remember thinking,
wow.
This does not sound like things are going well for you, mate.
I know.
But what was your experience of those early months, years, challenges, successes?
Do you want to tell me about the journey to the honeymoon?
Oh, yeah. Probably the biggest challenge was the day after we got married. We were driving down to Manchester. And I cried the whole way down. I was like, it's all over.
Oh, no.
The year's done. It's done. This is it for the rest of my life.
And she is not kidding. I remember that was Larbert. Larbert. We weren't far away. We lived down in Cairn Shore at the time. So that was Cairn Shore. And I still remember her crying at Killington Lake. Services, so yeah,
I know.
I'm
really just tired and emotional.
It wasn't because of me, it was just because that the wedding was over.
Big build up.
The whole hurrah that she had been planning.
That's what you were telling yourself.
It's all finished. Yeah. No, but I think we were really, really young when we got married, and we were young when we started dating, so people that, you know, would say that, and it was like, it's just really quite easy. Like, you're just hanging out with your friend and not having to go home at night, and you're like having every meal together, and yeah, so it wasn't a massive shock at the start. Like, it was quite, just a natural progression of what we wanted to do.
I always remember this, my brother's wedding day, he was getting ready to leave the house, and he gave quite an emotional speech in one of the rooms at the house, while they were kind of almost like toasting my mum and dad for all the good work they've done for him. But I remember him starting to bubble and cry and all the rest of it, because he didn't want to leave. But his wife's lovely, by the way. It wasn't that either. It was just he was all emotional about it. But I came to my day, and I was just like, I'm ready to leave. I wasn't sad. I wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mum and dad are great people. However, that day, my mum walked in when I was putting my kilt on, and this is my mum's exact words, this will be with Comedy Gold, but she's like, "You know what, son," she said, "see, when I look at you, you remind me of your Auntie Jean." And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "Ah, it's just your shoulders and that, eh?" I thought she was going to come up with something impressive, like, "You know, you remind me of your dad on his wedding day." Fantastic, you know. Try and get me emotional on that, but no, I looked like my Auntie Jean. So, yeah. But no, I felt, I'm pretty laid back. I think Kirsty will say I'm pretty laid back, but
I think we both are quite laid back. I remember my dad saying, like, "How are we going to do this wedding? Because it's like, none of you have got any, like, get up and go about yours." And he said that in the speech as well, like, yeah, that, you know, that we're both quite horizontal. So it was, yeah, so we both came into the marriage like that, laid back and just chilled, and it's just, yeah, quite.
Yeah. I've heard from some people that sometimes married couples can argue. I've never experienced that,
no.
But I've heard that that's been some people's experience.
Yeah.
In those kind of early years, or just as you've gone through your marriage, you're saying you're both pretty laid back, and that's been a good starting point. But have you come up with any particular ways of dealing with disagreements? How have you grown in that?
Well, we had to, like, there's two big compromises that we had to make at the start. I had to change my butter from Anchor butter to Lurpak butter. And you changed your toothpaste from Colgate to Aquafresh. So we both had to make a big compromise at the start. But that was about it. I don't know. We're both quite non-confrontational people, so...
We'll bicker about stuff, but nothing severe enough to cause a rift or... And I'm not saying that's not intentional either, because we just get along. And I know that sounds really boring, potentially, for some people, but as Kirsty said, you know, it really is like kind of being best pals, because we enjoy the same things. I'm very fortunate that my wife really loves sport as well, so we enjoy watching any type of sport that's going about. It's not a case of, "I need the TV remote tonight, you can get it tomorrow night. You can record your soaps tonight," or, and that would be me. You know, it's just, I suppose it's very difficult, because if you've not came across it, then you don't, it's hard to say how to resolve them when it just happens naturally.
We're both probably quite stubborn as well, so... But I think we've just sometimes agreed to disagree and just, like, leave it there.
We would never go to bed or go to sleep in an argument, really, either. So if something was bothering you, you would try and resolve it before sleeping, because the last thing you want to do is wake up with an even bigger angry head or that. So in terms of that, yeah, that's kind of stuff that we would do. But
away from kind of disagreements and things, I guess there are challenging seasons. Can you think of a season that you guys have been in that's stretched you as a couple?
You're looking at me.
We were just thinking about this last night, and I think as a couple we've probably not really came up against anything that's been challenging, maybe on each other, like, together. But there's, like, maybe things externally from us, like my mum wasn't well for a while, and when Erin was diagnosed, COVID was actually a really tough season for us. Your job was, like, you didn't know what was happening there, and you went on furlough, and homeschooling was just, like, a disaster. So there was those, and then we'd done an extension, and that was actually, like, really quite I know people have been through major, like, things, but for us that was actually quite a tension point in our marriage. I think our home's always been that safe place, and there was nowhere to eat your dinner, so you're having, like, and nowhere to cook dinner, so you're having a pot noodle on your bed. Like, that just wasn't a happy time. Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different experience when you're doing the dishes when you're in the bath as well.
I know I'm
making comedy out of it, but maybe that's part of it, our coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
That part of it is kind of comedic, that we look on things for what they are and the way they are, and we don't over analyse things to a degree. But as Kirsty said, I was going to put it another way, because I hope the girls didn't get offended or that, but yeah, most of our trials have probably came through as a family as opposed to individual or as a couple to a degree.
So we've been able to, like, help each other, or, like, be with each other, or if it was something that was happening to me, you would be able to take up more things, or I remember my auntie was really ill and Erin was only a few months old and we were going in and out of like ICU, so I had to take Erin because I was feeding her, but you would probably have Cara a lot then. And so you're holding on a bit more of this while I deal with this. And
can I just say, we do have, I mean, there is being Kirsty, but we do have a very good kind of support team, mm-hmm. if you want to call it for a better word. Without them knowing that they're a team, I mean, my parents are fantastic and have always been willing to help or lend a hand. Kirsty's mum and dad are just as, you know, as willing. A lot of people, I know it's probably a stereotypical joke that, you know, it's like, do you get on with your in-laws? My in-laws are fantastic. I couldn't ask for better in-laws, if I'm being honest. So within that, we can maybe cope better with certain things because mm-hmm. of that backup mechanisms. Yeah. Even families, Kirsty's sister and brother-in-law are great. And just having those things, to knowing that people have got your back, mm-hmm. Is fantastic mm-hmm. as well. So
yeah.
It's not all on us. So maybe when we are feeling the pinch, maybe we've relied on them a bit to help out as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Family is definitely a gift from God, and yeah. so is a sign of his favour and provision. Have you also seen just a very specific moment in a tough season where God has very clearly been guiding you or speaking to you or supporting you?
Yeah, well, it just sounds like really silly, but when we had Evie and we realised we needed more space in our house, we needed to really do something with the house. And it was either extend or buy a new house. But the house that we have just now does have like really big rooms. It was kind of older built, and to buy another house that was going to give us what we already had, and then the extra room and the extra bathroom, it was going to be a lot of money. And so we were like, right, we'll extend. And then we kind of what we wanted to do, we couldn't get that done, and we were in a bit of like, oh no, what are we going to do? Like, we can't afford a new house, we can't afford the extension, all these things. And I was reading that, meant to write it down, but it's a verse in Isaiah about extending your tent pegs, and I felt that was like a real confirmation, like, right, we need to stay where we are, but just extend this and do it. And then we were able to speak to the architect and to change what we had, like, they're obviously like that, they've got that job for a reason, and they know how to do it much more like in a better budget. And it was the best thing that we've done for our house. It was like the toughest thing that we've done. Like, I remember people all saying like, it'll be worth it in the end. I'm like, I know that, but at this moment in time, like, it's not worth it. But God helped us through that.
That was a more gracious way of putting it, Kirsty.
Yeah, so just like little things like that, I don't know, I think we just walk with our own like peace in our own hearts. So if we don't feel troubled about things, then you kind of know that you're just doing things right. I wouldn't say, like, I know personally, I'm not a person that I hear from God or I see from God or I would see visions or dreams or like actually hear anything audible, but I just have a knowing, and mm-hmm. I read a book about this just because I'm like, this is a rubbish like spiritual gift of just knowing something. It's not like as flashy as anything, mm-hmm. but just that knowing that you're doing the right thing, and mm-hmm. you've got a peace because everything is how it's meant to be there.
Another thing I was saying about family and kind of backup mechanism, what I probably should have said near the start was, when I was introduced to Kirsty's family, Kirsty's mum and dad were very much involved in church or in the Salvation Army, mm-hmm. and have been from early years right up and through their lives. So that was an eye-opener for me, because although I had went to Sunday school as a kid, I was kind of pointed in the right direction by my parents, but my parents never went to church. So my mum and dad have been very good at bringing me up with right morals in my life and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. when I met Kirsty's mum and dad and her grandparents, you know, right through the family, you could just tell there was something within the Bat family, if you want to put it that way, that there was just different to everything else that made me want to be part of that family. And so when you've got in-laws or parents like Ian and Sandra as well, you know that they're praying for you in the background.
Yeah.
And as I say, they've got your back, but I know that's not... My mum and dad are very generous in other ways with things, but they've not got that connection with Jesus that Ian and Sandra have. So it's always good having that as well, knowing that Ian and Sandra have always got your back spiritually.
That's so good.
So obviously you guys both love Jesus. You've got strong faith. That's obvious from getting to know you both. How has that played a part in your marriage? What does your relationship with Jesus as individuals but together look like, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So like you, when I met Willie, he wasn't a Christian and he didn't know, and it was through like a youth event that you came to.
Yeah, I was kind of open-minded as a youngster. I remember the event that Chris was talking about. Our grandfather hosted it at the Falkirk Salvation Army Hall, and it was Pastor George McKim from the People's Church that was the guest speaker that night. But I'm sure there was, is it Noel Richards? I Want to See Jesus Lifted. Is that right?
Cracking ponytail.
It was Noel Richards, I Want to See Jesus Lifted. Is that
Yeah.
Well, all the hand actions and that were going. And then, bearing in mind, Kirsty's probably thinking, you know, I brought this. What was that? I'm just asking Kirsty because I just want to get right. 19 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, 19 years old. Me and my pal were at this thing, and you could see my pal almost sitting on his hands, like, what have we came to? And I'm here, like, I've just got the hands out.
You want so, see?
Yeah, so I remember that vividly.
Yeah.
Definitely. But sorry, I interrupted Kirsty.
No, so So I suppose that's different. We've got really different backgrounds in our faith journey, because I became a Christian when I was a kid and you were older. So yeah, so I think like when we got married, we were both Christians, and just from the start, we've just always made church, that is what we do, and that's how we're going to like live our lives. But our faith is probably very, very individual, and it's... or personal, not in, like, probably live that, probably quite individual, like, maybe not as together. And I remember somebody actually prophetically spoke over us and actually spoke into that and said that we will do things like individual. And I think I said this when we'd done the welcome team training. That was the first time we've ever done any kind of ministry thing together. And even this, like, yep, the first time we've ever really done any kind of ministry together. And I think, but that's, maybe that's who we are, and we're probably very different people in that complement. I think it was the word was something about individually complementary and supportive. Yeah. Like, and Willie's obviously been very, very supportive of me being involved in like and in moving into ministry, and you were always the babysitter. You're never babysitting your own kids, so I'll just put that out there. But yeah.
I'm not saying that, because I know, like, you are there to help when the other one's feeling down or whatever, you know. But I always think it's important for both individuals to have a strong kind of foundation, their own foundation, so that the relationship can bloom from that. Where's it going? What did you say there?
I don't know.
I forgot. See, being 45, I hate it. I really do.
43,
I'm blaming
45.
It on being 45. And I've got some grey hairs as well. But
I don't know.
In my head. That's shocking. It was back to it. Yeah, I recognise that Kirsty obviously had a gift for serving in the worship team. And even at our old church, she was very much involved in that as well. And so, when kids come along, you don't know just how, it's like everything in life, you just don't know how situations are going to go or how you're going to feel in life. Mm-hmm. And you're just praying and hoping that God is going to bring you, I'm talking personally for myself, into the man that he wants or needs you to be. So for me, I had kids, you know, like when you're growing up, I said this to Kirsty last night, she laughed. You know, I was a sweaty teenager, I was like, don't like girls. And it's like, when I got older, I was like, I'm never marrying. And then all those things came fast. Mm-hmm. I did like girls, we did get married, and then it was like kids. It's not like I used to hang about with my cousins and that and go, oh, look at this baby, and and hold them and mother them for people. It was the first thing, but just took to it really naturally. This new love in your life that needs protection. And so I don't know how long Kirsty was away for, but I was like, no, you need to use your gift, and you need to go back and serve within the church. And so, yeah, I was in a season in that kind of style where I took the back seat, and I was quite happy for that, to look after the girls and make sure they had what they had. And I knew that Kirsty had the kids all day. Mm-hmm. So she needed her own time. She needed time to herself. Although she was serving, mm-hmm. She just needed that wee break to, I don't know, compartmentalise the day.
That's yeah. So cool. I didn't know that part of your season. That's awesome. So you do have amazing girls, and we are desperate to know what is the key to success, guys, because we're right behind you.
You should ask them. Kind of was. I don't know. I think, well, we had Cara first. Cara was our first, and we were really, really young. I was 24, you were, what, 26? So that is kind of relatively young. I remember people, oh, you'll be, like, a really old mum, and I was in this ward, and everyone else was in their, like, their late 30s, and I was like, and I was in for a few days because she was just being a bit sleepy and not feeding. You were quite, still the same. A bit sleepy. So I was in for a few days, and all these babies would be screaming through the night, and this other mum was like crying through the night, and Cara's just sitting there silently sleeping. And one night she kind of woke up with a wee and then that set off all the other babies in the ward. I was like, oh no. But Cara was just like, if a baby comes with like a manual of how to be, it was really Cara. Like, she was so easy and so so it did make it, made it really easy to be parents for the first time. Although I do remember when you went back to work, I was like, what am I meant to do? He's like, just what we've been doing. I said, like, what if I need to go to the shop? He's like, we'll go to the shop, but take Cara with you. I was like, okay. And then one time I came to church, it was a Tuesday night prayer meeting, and I came to church, and this old lady was like, oh, is the baby with your mum? Is your mum go? I was like, no, she's with her dad. And Willie's, oh, he's at home by himself with the baby. I was like, yeah, he's absolutely fine. But yeah, Cara made it really easy. So then just like a few months later, we're like, let's have lots of babies. So we then had Erin within, what, 17 months? We had two. And then we realised that it wasn't us that was actually very good parents. Sorry, Erin.
Erin, I love you.
No.
Sorry.
No, we realised that, like, babies are really, really different. They're all very, very different. Like, Cara was relaxed. Erin had a routine from day one, and, yeah. So we just, I don't know, we just kind of went with it. We didn't read any books. We went to one class for prenatal class when we were pregnant with Cara, and we walked out of that, like, shocked, like, what was that? We're like, we're not going back to anything. We're like, ignorance about this birth thing will be absolute bliss. And yeah,
ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, totally. We're like, yeah, that looks awful, I'm never doing that. But thankfully, that was, pregnancy and birth was something that I was actually really good at. I quite enjoyed it. I quite liked being pregnant. And yeah, and I was always healthy when I was pregnant, so you were already starting then, like, having with your baby being well. So I don't know. We just followed what they wanted, to, like, how they lived, and but I don't know, like, any secrets. We've kept them busy. I always think that's always good. Like, we've kept them involved in activities, mm-hmm. and so they've not been, like, out roaming the streets, like, they don't get to do that. We have made church a priority. That's always been, like, what we do on a Sunday. It's not, oh, the weather's really nice, but we just go to the beach today. It's like, no, today is Sunday. We will, as a family, we'll be going to church. And there was a season where we kind of didn't go to church for a while, when it was just Cara and Erin, they were both kind of small. And we would try a few different churches, and we found one that we really liked, but it was in Edinburgh, and it was a lot of young adults, and we had these two, like, toddlers, and we were like, no, we need to find a church that's local, because I want to bring my children up in church, not mm-hmm. and be involved in one that I don't have to travel, like, half an hour to, like, I want to be one that we can be involved with, like, the families. So that was when we found out that our Larbert Pentecostal had just moved to the high school, like, that weekend. So then we were like, right, they've got space, we're going to go there. And we never really looked back. And then they have just been brought along to church. I don't know. We've got great families. I think I was part-time working, you worked, and we, yeah, had grandparents looked after them. And I really don't know what we've done.
I know this sounds, it's easier said than done, but I always just find, don't worry, to be my motto. There's certain phases you go through. I always, and maybe many other people do it, I just actually compartmentalise my life into seasons. So I don't worry about a season because I know it's only temporary. And so, as I said, when Kirsty was back and I was looking after the kids, I knew that that season was going to come to an end because they're going to grow up, then they're going to go to Sunday school, mm-hmm. and then I'll get my time back. And then it's just each phase of life. And as I say, when kids come along, I could never understand the joy and love. And sorry, Kirsty, I know the different type of love, but you know, I obviously do love my wife, but when kids come along, it's completely different because it's a nurturing. These little humans can't feed themselves, they can't tell you what they want, and so you just go with, like, we just went with it. And I must admit, Cara was fairly easy going on us, just to wind us in. I don't recall any of them being a mega challenge, if I'm being honest. I know we're worried at times.
I know. No, I say that. I always like laugh with Erin, but we had two like really young together, but mm-hmm. it wasn't like mental. It was mm-hmm. it was quite fun. It was quite, yeah.
But yeah, having that backup, I think, mm-hmm. you know, my mum was retired at the time, so Kirsty could go back to work, which again got her out of the house, and mm-hmm. she wasn't like, I don't know if this sounds sexist, but she wasn't tied to the house while I was at work. Mm-hmm. She could go and do her work as well. My mum would step in, Kirsty's mum would step in a day a week. They went to nursery. We put like kind of programs in place so that they went to things out with their kind of area. So they got to know people, not just from within their own area, but from out with. My mum, although my mum doesn't go to church and stuff, my mum's part of like the rural or the women's guild.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was very intentional about taking the girls along to that. So, I mean, the girls have learned kind of life skills through these things, and they used to love going, you know, learning how to make knit bags, sew bags. Cara's still got a set of knitting needles underneath her bed and sometimes just pulls them out, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're all different. Cara and Erin, you could sit down in the room and put a jigsaw in front of them and they would be happy. You'd put a jigsaw in front of Evie and she would... she wouldn't do a jigsaw because she didn't want to do a jigsaw, so we wouldn't make her do a jigsaw. It was like she just wanted to be outside, she just wanted to be an adventurer. So yeah. And
so
yeah,
you learn then to see like what, like their own little individual personalities and how mm-hmm. like what works with that one is never going to work, like even in discipline, and like what works with Cara is not going to work with Erin or like would work with Evie. So yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what we just... I think we both had great parents that modelled parenting to us, and we both came from like loving families and had like siblings, and we were able just to, yeah, model that. I mean, we've got three teenagers just now, so we've not, like, we're not at the end of any journey. We're still learning.
Today's challenge is trying to get them to eat healthily. So.
Yeah.
You've been outed by your father.
Yeah, I know.
In church.
I know.
Not have to cook three different meals instead of one.
I know.
Which is going well this week, I must admit. Yeah. But yeah, no. There is no, I don't know, key to success. It's just, I don't know, natural. I think it's important to show the kids the way it goes well. I mean, I remember praying with the girls when they were very young. So they would say their prayers before bedtime. Kirsty would say that I fell asleep as well.
Yeah.
We would have folk come over and I was that tired that I would go up to say prayers and that with them, and I'd hear the front door going and I'd be like, oh, is that them away?
Like half
right? Yeah, you never came back. You've been up there sleeping an hour and a half. Yeah.
Spending 3 hours in prayer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But again, that's part of my motto. I'm the type of person, it just didn't bother me, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I try not to worry about what other people think about me. Worrying about being like other people as well, or mm-hmm. wanting what people want. I think the comparison trap's really, yeah. really, really tough.
Yeah.
Because if that gets inside your head and you want to compare yourself to other people, then you'll never be the person that God's intended you to be.
Totally. And I think as a like a new mum or new parents now, there's even more of that. Like there's mm-hmm. so much online, like telling you what you should, like all the, even the rules from having Cara to Evie, there was like a almost 6 year gap. And some of the rules about like the weaning thing, they had all changed. So there's like so much information out there, mm-hmm. but like you kind of know as a mum, I mean, you know like you've got to listen to your own, like, yeah, what you feel is right as well, mm-hmm. and you kind of know what to do.
So going back to faith and church, you've mentioned a little bit about ministry and about how you would support Kirsty in her early days in worship ministry in particular. How important has church and church community been when it comes to your marriage over the years?
Me, Hansel?
Yep.
No, I think church community is key. As I said, I find that a different route because I came to church later when I was 20. The first 20 years of my life were what I've learned from my parents. And as I said, my parents, my mum's mum and dad went to church, but my parents, I never saw my parents go to church. They know every single tradition, you know, in the book. They know what cord gets held at a funeral by which member of the family. They know the seating plans on who should sit where. All that stuff, not a problem. They could coordinate a wedding without even thinking about it. But I never got that kind of input. So when I saw Kirsty's family and then I was drawn into the church, my dad and that had already kind of put into me kind of good morals. So I just saw the need. As soon as I joined the church and I was told right away, you know, it's like, it's great and it's like you need to serve. I served on the welcome team at the first church I was at because there was no need for a setup team. So when we joined LPC because we were going to the high school, right away I was like, right, hand up, I'll help with the setup team. There wasn't many drivers that could drive the trailer, but I said to the pastors at the time, Michael and John, I said, listen, if you don't have any drivers, I said, I'm happy to do it every week. I would rather see church happen than not happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe, and that came from my kind of work ethic background, but it's all integrated into church as well. I find it important to start off, you know, serving at the bottom. If that takes you to bigger and greater things within church, that's great. If it doesn't, you're still helping God's kingdom, and you're helping others you're helping others experience church the way that it's meant to be as well. Mm-hmm. So I've always had a servant heart in that respect. But in terms of church community, there's people that came in and out of our lives almost like you could say like a woven mesh. Mm-hmm. And at different times in our life, those people have been very important for different seasons. Mm-hmm. Whether those people are still in our lives, they maybe aren't, but if we were to meet them tomorrow, it would just be like we met them yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd still be chatting about great things. We've got a couple that we went to church with as youngsters, and they live in Australia. And, you know, if they were to visit, you wouldn't think they'd been away for like 3, 4, 5 years or whatever. It would just be like we met yesterday. And that goes for other people. I see church community very valuable in our lives and the lives of the kids. Like, we've had youth pastors within church impart to our kids. Mm-hmm. We've had even the congregation and the people that say hello to our kids, mm-hmm. that make our kids feel welcome. That all helps. And then our kids, they don't just stick to like small cliques and that. Like, mm-hmm. they could go and talk to anybody within church, but that's because church has inputted into them and they've inputted into church as well. Yeah. So long may that continue as well. And maybe that's partly why we've still got them at 18, Cara, is that correct? Yes. 18, 17 and 13, you know, and they love church. You know, they love to come along. And I just see the community within church as a real blessing.
Yeah, like even things like toddler groups and those kind of things. If there's a toddler group on when I was on maternity leave, I went like every day. I just loved that community, and I know that some people, they're not maybe as into that, but I just loved the community of being with other people. Mm-hmm. Like, really enjoyed that when they were little. But yeah, I think you've answered that well.
Did I talk too much?
No,
sorry. No, it's good.
It's good. Yeah.
All solid gold, Willie.
Yeah.
Solid,
yeah.
In what ways have you seen God grow you individually through your marriage? Yeah. I guess you hinted at that a little bit.
I think God will always grow you individually as you have your own personal relationship with Him, and it has to be personal. Like, that being like having a family that I've had faith from, like, grandparents and great-grandparents, and it was always, like, and my parents, it was always drummed into me that God has no grandchildren. Mm-hmm. God, you have to find your own faith. So I've always been, you have to find that. And I think even within a marriage, you have to find, like, your own faith, because I want to be the best wife and I want to be the best mum, so I know then I need to be the best person that I can be, and I can only be that by, like, how I look after myself spiritually and how I build myself up. And then being, like, just strong then will always support, like, I'll always then be a support, and it's like vice, like, for the same ways. And yeah, so I think, yeah, we haven't had maybe lots of challenges like other people have, but we're both really strong and have good foundations that have things have maybe kind of, if things have got tough, we've not like walked away, because we're like, no, we're mm-hmm. we're solid, we're secure. And I think a lot of that is maybe because you've built yourself individually and you've made yourself that give yourself that strong faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I probably sound like a broken record because I probably repeat myself, but I remember it's not favouritism. When Cara was born, I was asked to give my testimony at church on Father's Day, and I can remember what I spoke on, and I've said it already. I had said basically that I had an input from my dad, I had an input from Kirsty's dad, and then I had an input from Jesus. And basically, I remember saying that if I could be half the man that my dad is and half the man that Ian is, then I'd be a great dad. But why should I settle for being half of someone? It got to me through the years. Why should I settle for half? Because that's not the person that God wants me to be. Mm. And through the years, as I've said, I was that young boy that didn't like girls. That changed. I didn't want to get married. That changed. Unsure about family, but that changed. Mm-hmm. You know, going to church. Every single step of the way, God's been there, and I always think it's good to look back. And we were enjoying last night, because for tonight we were looking back at old pictures, yeah. The kids in nappies, up to what they are now. And mm-hmm. you just reminisce and you see how far you've come. And as an individual, you can do that. So when I look back and see the person that 20-year-old that gave his heart to Jesus, and then I see the person now, I think, wow, how did I get there?
Yeah.
And that can only be through God mm-hmm. as well. So so that itself shows just what kind of hand God's had in my life. Mm. And obviously our life, should I say as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it comes to kind of looking back over, gosh, how many years are we married now?
Almost 22.
Almost 22. So looking back over 22 years of marriage, yeah. what are the things that you're most grateful for?
I think that we're still like...
Still together.
Together. not because we've endured it, but because we're like probably more friends now, or like more in love now, or more like, that sounds really cheesy, right? But
it's worth an awe.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that was, thanks guys. They're like throwing up over there. Yeah. No, I think, yeah, it's like, it's a long time. Like, a lot of marriages don't last like mm-hmm. these times. And yeah, but it's been good. It's been fun. It's been, yeah, we've had some really, really good times. And yeah, I don't know where I was going to go. What's the question?
What do you think it is that makes your friendship stronger?
Being the friend that is, like, there's obviously when you marry, there's like a love that's there, and you know, every married couple has that love. But I think having a friendship is different as well, and that it's so complementary to that, to the love side of it, that you're friends and you want to hang. Like, I really dislike when I hear people slagging off their husbands or their wives, and I'm like, that's a person that you've said vows to. That's a person that that should be the hook. Like, there's nobody I would rather do anything with than, yeah, like, if I want to go shopping, I'll like, oh, let's do it. If I want to go for a call, he would be like my first pick over anybody. And I don't, like, probably not his first pick.
I normally go shopping for the coffee.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. But,
and to hold the bags.
But I recognise that it's something Kirsty wants to do, so I do it.
No, I'm like saying that. I don't really go shopping, but yeah, no. That's just, yeah. I think, yeah, you're the one, he's the person that I would want to, like, I wouldn't want to go on holiday with other people, like, it's you, I don't, like, want to have any, yeah. So, I don't know, I just think I still like him. And I think that's quite an important thing, and maybe a lot, I remember when we were going out and we went to Pizza Hut for dinner, and this was years ago before, like, there's mobile phones, but not the ones that you can sit on and use internet in a restaurant. And we were in Pizza Hut, and we were young, and we were just, like, dating, so we're, like, chatting. And there was this older couple, who probably our age, right? They probably weren't even that old, but there was this couple sitting at the table beside us, and he had a big paper, and she was just sat, and he was reading the paper. And maybe that's what they like to do, but I just remember feeling really, really sad, thinking, I don't want to be like that when I'm old. Now, we're old, so I don't want to put all your energy into raising kids that you forgot to like each other and be friends with each other. I think it's just so important that you... So I think we've managed to, like, I don't know what we've done. We've just been friends, and yeah.
I mean,
most nights we sit and don't talk to each other, and we sit and scroll on our own phones and watch, like, the football just now, or, like, some Netflix things. So, like, we don't have deep discussions every night. But that's one of my favourite things to do, is just knowing that he's on that couch, I'm on that couch, I'm on Instagram, he's on Instagram, the telly's on. And that's just contentment, that I have learned to be content. That is, yeah. So, and I don't know, maybe that's the secret, just being content.
I'm just thankful for everything. Yeah.
Aww,
I'm thankful.
This is so cheesy, guys.
No, but I mean, like, when I say everything, I mean, like, obviously, yeah, there's our marriage, and it's as I say, I did say it jokingly, it's lasted. You know, I'm not saying that there's been very tough times, but it's almost that kind of, like, here's to another 22 years, you know, type of thing. But I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful that we've been able to afford a home. You know, all the things in life, and we've been able to build a home and make that a home for future generations as well. And as Kirsty said, we looked around and we realised that we couldn't move home, but just because of the cost, and it was going to be cheaper to build. But I never saw us leaving our home, because personally and both, I think we've poured a lot of love into that house. If you go around, you know, I love DIY and that, so the gate on the side, I made it. The gate at the front, I made it. You know, the stuff at the back, it was done by, because you couldn't afford people to do it. So you always try one thing, always try something once. If you can't do it, then get a tradesman in. If you can do it yourself, do it yourself.
The only thing you've never done is plastering, isn't it?
I hate plastering, nah. I can never do that would be my... But I'm the type of person that, just because we're talking about it, I know we're talking about being thankful, but Kirsty once told me, she said, we really need to redecorate the hallway. And I'm like, right, okay. So Kirsty went to a church meeting that night, and then she came back in, and she was in floods of tears. And I'm like, what is it? She goes, what have you done? I had the light fittings off. I had the radiator off the wall. I had the floor lifted. I said, well, you said you wanted the... And I had the skirting boards off the wall. You said you wanted to redecorate and paint. He goes, but it's like... What happened if there was something wrong with that radiator? Like, are you going to get a plumber at this time of night? It's like, no, I didn't worry about that. It's just a doer. So, no, we've poured so much love. And I'm just thankful that, yeah, we've been able to create a safe environment for our kids. That it's a place that we love to be and call home. And I'm thankful for the family that I inherited. Because, as I say, I know a lot of people might laugh or joke or say about their in-laws and stuff, but I really have, and that's the whole family, you know, Kirsty's grandparents, even relatives when we've visited them down south, they're just so welcoming and accommodating, and I hope likewise that's like for Kirsty, with my family, but yeah, and it's all to God for the glory, but yeah, just thankful for the kids, never added that. Thankful for the dog that we've got. Yeah,
I've got a great mother-in-law. She used to come every week and look after the girls. And I remember, like, speaking to her one day, I was like, do you know this plant, Marion? This plant has never, ever died. She's like, I watered that weekly. I was like, ah! And she used to do all my ironing.
Oh, wow.
And then one day I got upset because she bought me an iron for my Christmas. I'm like, you've actually technically bought yourself this Christmas present because you do all my ironing. But, yeah, no. As, you know, I folk always... But she's a great... She's
brilliant. Can I just say about that iron, by the way? See, when that came on Christmas Day... that Kirsty was a wee bit disappointed, I must admit, just a wee bit disappointed. But see, 2 years later, I remember saying Kirsty saying, that is the best Christmas present ever.
No, I don't. That was the best iron.
No, you did. You definitely said that was the best Christmas present ever. I'm sure you did. Yeah. Can I just say, I have never bought an appliance for my wife.
No.
She gives me a list and I get what she wants.
Yeah, that is a secret. I send up a list and there might be like, so 1 year I was like, I want a navy handbag, which I've actually brought with me. I was like, I want a navy handbag. So I sent him five. So then he had to pick the one. So he is then picking it, but out of a selection of five. Aww, so that is a nice. Top tip, ladies.
So it's technically still a surprise. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. This one is the top choice. So that's not.
Yeah, they're numbered. Yeah. So just to finish up, how would you sum up what marriage means in one sentence, what it means to you in one sentence?
This one, I found this really hard. I was like, oh, it's just like the best. What was it? I think I wrote it down because I couldn't remember how. The best and most fun and longest sleepover ever.
What did I say? An adventure of a lifetime. It depends on how you look at things, but it's definitely an adventure. And it's,
It's got to be fun.
Yeah.
Because gets you through. Because especially when your kids are little, I remember like the days are long, mm-hmm. but the years are really short, and folk would say that, and you're like, oh, you're just like making that up. But it's so, so true. So you've got to have fun so that you can keep having fun when the days are going to be short and the years are going to be shorter.
Yep.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, guys. Why don't we have a round of applause for Kirsty and Willie? Thanks for sharing and giving us insight into your journey and some inspiration for our own journeys. And I'll be writing down lots of notes about parenting. Just to,
honestly, I don't know. Like, speak to the girls. They might have a completely different... It was the worst.
I'm sure they would.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.